there is a word from the Lord this morning. Our word today, y'all, comes from the book of Matthew. This is the throwback sermon, one I shared way long ago. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. You can follow along with me in your Bibles, on your electronic devices, or you can look to the screen as I read this morning. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And it reads as thus. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds amongst the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." I want to preach from the thought, a word about weeds. A word about weeds. I want to tell you a story about elephant ears. Elephant ears. I was about 10 years old. My grandmother and my great-grandmother, my grandmother owned what we called a sundry store. It was a little neighborhood store. And my great-grandmother, she owned a boarding house that was actually connected to this neighborhood store. In this boarding house, she had several boarders. There was a local college, Lemoine College, in the community, so some would stay there. Other people would board with her. And so at 10 years old, she allowed me to come in and help her keep the place clean out all the rooms. I would clean the bathtub. I would sweep the stairs. I would go outside and do certain things. One time, great-granny, she asked me if I would help her to weed her garden. Now, she was from the country, and she loved the outdoors, and so she planted certain things. She planted, you know, carrots and greens and cucumbers and all of that. But she had this flower garden as well. So I'm excited, y'all. I'm excited. And so I go out with Great Granny, and I just begin to pull weeds. I'm just pulling stuff. I'm pulling away. And I'm doing a good job. I'm doing a good job. All of a sudden, she shouted, "My elephant ears." Now, I'm 10 years old. That's the first time I'm out here weeding. I'm here elephant ears. I'm looking for the elephant first. This is Memphis, Tennessee. This is the city. Where's the elephant, Granny? But what she was talking about, they were her actual plants. I'm down here, y'all. I'm weeding, and I'm pulling up her elephant ears, and she was hot as fish grease. But everything looked alike to me. I didn't know the difference. And so here I am, thinking I'm doing the right thing, that I'm pulling up weeds, and all along I'm pulling up her elephant ears. I was destroying that which was good. And so Jesus uses this farming analogy of wheat and weeds this morning, but he applies it to biblical and spiritual truths about salvation in terms of who's saved and who is not. And what are we as a church are supposed to do about it? Living Faith, as we're growing as a ministry, as we're growing as a church, listen, we can't allow what things look like to us with our natural eyes. People look like to us to determine, well, who's saved and who's not saved. So Jesus tells this parable. And so for those that may not know, a parable is simply a story about natural, earthly things that we understand. They would have understood this thing about farming at the time. It's natural things that we understand in the here and now, but they have spiritual and kingdom principles that we must apply to them. Jesus talks about the mustard seeds. He talks about yeast and hidden treasures and fishing, all of these parables. But they have spiritual meaning and spiritual truth. And so the self-righteous leaders of the day, as Jesus would tell these stories, as he would tell these parables, they had no idea what he was talking about because they didn't want to know what he was talking about. Listen, you may be new in the faith. I encourage you to read your Bible. I know sometimes some things seem like they're hard to understand, but I believe this. When you're really seeking God, when you're seeking his truth, God will reveal it and God will show you. But you got to get in your word. You got to seek it. You have to want it. You have to want it for yourself. The religious leaders, they could care less. All they wanted to see was Jesus done away with. And so you get into the text. It gets kind of comical to me. Because all along, Jesus is telling these parables, and the disciples are there as well, and Jesus is speaking all of this stuff. And I imagine in my mind them going, preach, Reverend Jesus, preach. You're talking, Jesus, you're talking, Jesus. And all along, they don't know what in the world he's talking about. I can see Peter leaning over to John. John, what are you talking about? Preach, Reverend Jesus, you're telling the truth. And so Jesus gets to the point where he tells them, he translates, you look at verse 36, this parable for them. Jesus says, the farmer who planted good seed is the field, in the field is Jesus. The field is the word. The good seed are the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the seeds is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The harvesters are angels. And so the obvious lesson here for us today is that Jesus is talking about those who are true believers and those who are not. Those who will go to heaven and be with him and those who will not. Those who will go to Hades, or let me use the word hell. And hell is real, y'all. That's the obvious lesson of the text. But the interesting thing is that the farmer allows the weeds to grow up in the same neighborhood, in the same community, on the same job, in the same house, in the same church with the weed. I think in context, it causes a lot of us to really think about this world in which we live. Why would God in his graciousness and his goodness allow weak people, people who love him, people who are born-again believers, people who confess a hope in Christ, people who are trying to live a life that pleases him, coexist with people who hate him, people who are evil, people who do evil things, people who misuse us and hurt us and abuse us. But in his graciousness, in his patience, he allows us all to coexist together, because here's the reality. You may never know what you may call weed is potential weed. And so Jesus clearly answers this question in the story. So how can we sum it up? In the end, the evil will be burned up in hell while the righteous will be bought into glory, will be bought into heaven. So I believe this. So understanding this parable of the weeds is something that the church needs today. It's something we need to hear, Living Faith. What can the church glean from this story this morning? And so while we can understand the clear lessons of the parable, let me point out just a few things that I learned, because I took an opportunity and I did a little study about weeds, y'all, just a little bit. I think the first lesson we can understand is this. We can understand something about the characteristics of weeds. Yeah, weeds, did you not know this? Weeds are deceptive. Weeds are already hiding somewhere underground. I don't know if Brother Dwight's in the house today. Some of y'all some lawn lovers. Y'all take care of your yards. I mean, y'all down. I mean, you put the fertilizer down. You water it just right. I mean, it looks like carpet. Is Brother Dwight in the house today? Amen. Give him your address, bro. Let him roll by and look at the yard. Hey. I got some folk that have been by there. I mean, he keeps this lawn manicured, well kept. You don't see a weed anywhere. It's like Brother Dwight is watching the lawn all day long. And any time a weed pops up, he's there to push it out, just to pull it out. That weeds are deceptive. That no matter how hard you try, some of us can testify we know it. I'm not a lawn person. Amen, Sister Tony. We together. We try. We do our best. But no matter how hard you try, have you noticed that weeds come up no matter how hard you try? Because they're already underground. They're finding their way to root their way through. The weeds mentioned in the story had a tendency to look just like the weed, y'all. It was just growing. And again, my analogy of growing up with my grandmother, I couldn't tell the difference between what was good and what was not good. I'm just pulling up everything. I'm destroying everything. It's amazing, y'all, how things can look the same on the outside, but be totally different on the inside. It's amazing how things can come from you from the same seed. It's twin children that they look just alike, but they can have very different personalities. Things can look totally different on the outside. Things in their infancy stage can look just the same, but they're different. In the church, in the kingdom community, there are counterfeits. Oh, we got quiet right there. Weeds confuse the appearance of who we are as believers with believers. That there are believers and then there are make believers. Jesus said, "Be careful of prophets who seem harmless as sheep, but they're like wolves and they come to destroy us." But listen, you can identify people by the fruit that they bear. But don't spend so much time trying to look at somebody else's fruit. Look at your own fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? How are you representing the kingdom of God? Don't spend so much time focused on somebody else that you forget about yourself. Listen, weeds are deceptive. So we can't always tell the difference between a weed and a weed, a person that's saved and a person that is not saved. Y'all know some saved people with some rough edges? Look at me. Don't look around now. I'm talking real, though. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit, but they got some rough edges. Love the Lord, but listen, you catch them on the wrong day, they may say some words that may shock you. Don't look at me, Sister Jackie. Don't look at me. Look away. Listen, words are deceptive, y'all, but weeds are deceptive. Weeds are dangerous. Weeds are plants that grow unwantedly, and they interfere with agricultural operations. In other words, they slow down progress. There are weeds, y'all, that find their way into churches all over the world that are effective in slowing down progress. They get tangled up and tied up in whatever is going on, that they back, they talk about other people, and they try to choke out the faith. They try to choke out the joy of other believers. Y'all know some weed people. I'm not talking about cannabis. Y'all know some weed people, though. Look at me. Don't look around. That they're filled with negativity. Always talking about folk. Always talking about what's not right. Weed people. Weed. Not marijuana, not cannabis. Weed. The stuff that grows in the yard, y'all. I don't want y'all to get this sermon twisted. And some weeds, y'all, they have parasites. And parasites can be in the pews, in the seats, too, that people have stuff on them. It's not good. And if you get too close to them, maybe have some of that parasite, some of this stuff, it'll rub off on you too. There are parasites in the pew, in case you just didn't know. There are parasites in the churches, where parasites that pull off of you. They try to drain you of your joy, try to drain you of your strength, try to drain you of your praise and your worship. Look at me, don't look around. There are parasites in the church too. Maybe some of y'all got some parasites on your job. Maybe some of you have some parasites in your own house. Weeds can harbor insects, pests, and disease. They bring stuff in with them and they rub off on the wheat. In the parable of the yeast, Jesus says that all it takes is a little bit of yeast to leaven the whole lump. Weeds rob of nutrients and produce no fruit and pop up everywhere rapidly. They are dangerous. Weeds are dangerous and weeds are deceptive. But here's another thing. We can understand something about how to control weeds. We can understand some of the characteristics of weeds, but how to control weeds. First, do this. Practice personal weed control. I already alluded to this. Notice in the parable that the farmers were not only wanted to know where the weeds came from, and Jesus said they came from the enemy. There is a very real enemy that's out there, y'all. That the devil is not this fictitious character. He's not this person with a pitchfork in this red suit. There is a very real enemy. And anytime you decide you're going to follow hard after Jesus, you're going to have to deal with the enemy. But they also wanted to know, what should they do about these weeds? What do we do with them? They asked if they should pull them up. Yeah, they wanted to do weed control. But the farmer said this, no, just leave them alone and it'll be sorted out in the end. What you saying, Willis? You mean, I've identified a weed. It looks like a weed, it walks like a weed, it talks like a weed. It's a potential parasite. It makes me feel look bad. Shouldn't we just pull them up? That's not what Jesus would say. Jesus said, leave it alone. Because when you do that, you'll mess up everything. They wanted to do weed control. The truth is all of us need to do our own personal weed control, though. That we need to look at the weeds in our own yard, the weeds in our own garden, the weeds in our own lives. Those things in our lives that hinder our productivity, our spiritual growth in the Lord. God will deal with the other weeds in his time and in his way. God can bring correction. God can bring confrontation. If God wants to, he can bring a casket. But God will deal with the weeds in the way he chooses to deal with the weeds. But as for us, we must practice personal weed control. Ask yourself this morning, what are the weeds in my life? What are the things in my life that are hindering my spiritual growth, my spiritual productivity? Deal with your own weeds. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Pulling out weeds in your own life is a priority. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves. Not your neighbor. Examine yourselves. Not your spouse. Examine yourselves to see if you are of the faith. If you believe everything the Bible teaches, if you're living, you examine yourself to see where you are in your relationship with Jesus. Pulling out weeds in God's garden is his responsibility. He prunes and he cuts. He does the work. We practice personal weed control. Judgment belongs to God. And parenthetically, let me say this real quick. I've been in church a long time. We talk about the world all the time and how they judge us as believers and how they judge us as Christians. Now, this is me speaking. Minister Terrell, this is just me. This is me. I'm just talking about me. I've been in church a long time. Did I mention that? It's church people that talk about church people more than people that are in the world. This has just been my people in the church that dog out, that backstab, that put down other church people more than anybody else in the world. The Lord did not call us to be judges or to be judgmental towards one another. I know it got quiet right there. Y'all don't allow me just to talk to tell my truth, though. That there are people that will smile in your face and talk about you like a dog behind your back. And they're a Christian just like you. God did not call us to be judgmental people. So we all have to inspect our own lives, but don't condemn the lives of others. And for this reason, we must let the Lord be the weed patrol. Practice personal weed control, but let the Lord be the weed patrol. Again, in our text for today, the farmer is Jesus, and Jesus knows the real deal about everybody. He knows the real deal about you and me. He teaches us early in his ministry. He talks about judging people. What does Jesus say about judging people? He says, don't do it. Now, I want us to be careful about something. Minister Janice Brown, we have to be careful. We have to be careful, y'all, because oftentimes, you know, we'll say something to someone, and it's biblical, and we say it out of love. We say it out of humility. We say it out of respect. We say it because we want to see them do better and be better, and we give them the word of God, and what comes out of it? Oh, you're being judgmental. There's a difference between you being judgmental and speaking the truth. Did you hear what I said? Now, when I was growing up, and my parents corrected me, I couldn't say to my mom and my dad, "You just being judgmental." I'd find myself on the floor, waking up 3 days later. No, they were telling me the truth, and so I had to live by and abide by their truth. So I want all of us to understand this. Listen, if there are other believers in your life that love you, that they love you and they care about you, and they drop a word on you, we have to be accountable, y'all. They drop you a word to say, "Hey, listen, perhaps this was not very godly. This was not right." Don't be quick to say, "Oh, you're just being judgmental." Listen to what they have to say, because perhaps they're just an instrument of God that God is using to speak to you biblical truth. Let the Lord be the weed patrol. Listen, Christian author Max Lucado says this: "We aren't good enough to judge. Can the hungry accuse the beggar? Can the sick mock the ill? Can the blind judge the deaf? In the same way, can the sinner condemn the sinner? Absolutely not." Pastor and evangelist F.B. Meyer had it right when he said, when we see a brother or sister in sin, there are three things we should not do. There's three things we do not know. First thing we don't know. First, we don't know how hard it is she tried not to sin. We don't know. Second, we don't know the power of the forces that assaulted him or her. And thirdly, we also don't know what we would do if we were in the same situation. Amen, somebody. Because we got four, you know, if I was in that situation, you don't know what you would do. Shut up. Oh, that was rude. 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 That was mean. That was mean. Let the Lord be the weed patrol, y'all. We need to have conviction and compassion. Conviction that we stand on the personal truths of God's word, and compassion for people that may be dealing with some weed-like circumstances and situations in their lives. Maybe the problems are choking them out and pulling them down. We need to walk alongside of them to help them. So, as we seek to understand the characteristics of weeds, along with how to control weeds, let's be seed builders and not weed killers. Don't judge a plant by its seedling, by its smallness. Some of y'all do gardening. I picked this up at Lowe's. They'll never be used. But we know how to plant seeds and place them in the soil. Even when we're in elementary school, grade school, times we look at other believers, we look at one another, and we judge each other by the seedling, because it looks weak and small and insignificant. But we never know what God is growing us into. Too often times we look at our lives like this, that is small and it's insignificant. And it really doesn't seem as if it's amounting to anything. We look at ourselves this way. But don't discount what God wants to do in your life. Don't discount what God wants to do through you. That God is doing a mighty work in your life. That God sees you as you will be. God sees me as I will be. That we start out like this, but let's not judge each other like this. Don't be guilty of trying to kill what God has planted in you and others before it becomes mature. There's some Peters in here today. And that maybe today, listen, you're not walking the straight line, and maybe you're denying the power of Jesus, but listen, tomorrow God's going to use you in a great way. There may be some Peters in the house today. There may be some Pauls in the house today that are persecuting the church, that they're talking about church people. They don't want to have anything to do with the church, but God's going to use you in a mighty way one day. So I don't judge you by your seedling, by your beginnings, because God sees you as greater. God sees you as more powerful. God sees you in a greater way. Thank God for the way he sees us. There's some Pauls that may be persecuting the church, talking about the church. But that same Paul God used in a mighty way. There's some people that might be saying, I can't even talk. How's God going to use me? I stutter when I talk. I can't speak Greek and Hebrew well, y'all. No matter how much I study it, no matter how many times I try to pronounce it, it didn't come out right. But God can still use you. Use us in a mighty way. Listen, don't judge a plant by its seedling, by its sprout. And we have to know this too, y'all. When we think about this, you know, just agricultural terms, that there's dirt in the cup, that there's dirt in the pot, and dirt is dirty. And here's the thing about our lives. Here's the thing about the church. Listen, sometimes we have to get dirty when it comes to evangelism. That we have to get down in the dirt with other people's lives and be where they are and live where they are and try to be a magnet to them. You have to get dirty sometimes, y'all. That we have to learn how to get in the dirt, be where other people are in their relationship with the Lord or their non-relationship with the Lord. That we have to be that fertilizer that helps other people to grow in their maturity and their faith. And y'all, we have to treat people with gloves. Not because we don't want to touch them, but we need to treat people gently and lovingly and kindly. Maybe it looks like they're not going to make it. You're looking at their life right now and you go, ooh, I don't know about this rascal. I just don't know. But we treat them with godly care and love and gentleness. And then, y'all, we have to turn around and we have to water them with the word of God. Pour into them. Pour into them God's truth. Pour into them God's love. Pour into them the word of God in their lives so they can grow up and be strong and they can be mature. Listen, y'all, we start like this. It may look like we're nothing. We look small. Maybe it looks like you're not going to make it. Maybe you don't think you can make it. But listen, God sees you in a different way. God sees you in your strength. God sees you greater. God sees you bigger. That you're more than a conqueror in him. That you're more than a conqueror in him. That you are a holy person to God. That you're a mighty person to God. That we are the church. That we are a holy nation. We are a holy people. We are a great people. That God has called us unto himself. God sees you like this. I don't care how you see you, but God sees you like this. God sees you as strong. You may be green, but as long as you're green, you can grow. God sees you in a great way, in a mighty way. I just want to give you a word about weeds, that you are redeemed. You are saved. You are a child of God. You are loved by him. You are accepted in the beloved. You are somebody to God. You are loved. You are loved by God. But I have a question I want to ask you today. Is this an elephant ear? I don't know. Hallelujah. It's a real question I want to ask you, though. Serious question. Are you wheat? Are you a born-again believer? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you wheat? Are you really a part of the chosen generation? Are you a part of the royal priesthood? You know that and God knows that. Or are you a weed? The good news today, that if you say to me, preacher, I'm not sure. You can know for a fact today that God's word is true. That if we confess with Jesus, we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, by faith we really believe this. The Bible says that settles it, that saves us. That we admit that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We believe that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, who God says he is, who he says he is, who the Spirit says he is. And we confess this Jesus that saves us, that settles it. Are you wheat or are you a weed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the words of Jesus and this powerful story of wheat and weeds. We thank you, Lord God, for this church. We thank you for this ministry. God, it's our determination to be a people of grace, that we judge things from the outward appearance, but God, you know the heart. Help us, oh God, by the power of your Spirit to be gracious and loving to one another. To not go around practicing weed control in the lives of other people, to pull them down, to talk about them, to backstab, but to love them. Because the truth is, even though we may be saved, we don't always get it right. So help us, Lord God, to understand, to be gracious to one another. And Holy Spirit, I pray even in this moment that you would speak to the heart of that person that does not know you in the pardon of their sins. That they need to know at this very moment that Jesus is the way and he is the only way to the Father. That he is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to salvation. That we cannot make it but by Jesus, through Jesus. We thank you for his sanctifying power. We thank you for his blood. We thank you for Calvary. But he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hand. It's this Jesus that we proclaim. This Jesus that we believe in. This Jesus that we trust. So again, Spirit, speak to hearts right now. That they would come to Jesus in this very moment. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.